Welcome to Calibrate Conversations, a podcast about embracing God's standard for sexuality. I'm your host, Brady Cohn. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate you watching this video, liking this video, subscribing to our channel, sharing with your friends. Make sure you check out calibrateministries.com for more resources. Well, today I'm going to talk about something that recently happened at a seminary here in the U.S., Fuller Seminary. So Fuller Seminary has been an evangelical seminary for decades now. I believe it started in the 1940s. It's in California. And I've been pretty concerned about Fuller Seminary for a while in how they were moving in a progressive direction. Some of that came last year when their professors, Christopher B. Hayes, released a book called The Widening of God's Mercy, in which he argues that God is no longer against homosexuality. And I did a whole review of that book here on the channel, so you can find that back if you look a ways. And so I've been concerned about where they were going. Well, they recently released a statement, and that I think was pretty shocking to a lot of people. And so I have it here in front of me, so I want to read what some of this in part says. After years of consultation, feedback, and dialogue, the Board of Trustees reconfirmed the institution's commitment to its historical theological understanding of marriage and human sexuality, a union between a man and a woman, and sexual intimacy within the context of that union. All right, well, that's great, right? So they reaffirmed what they believe there, what they teach there. You'd think that that's great, but the next line is pretty shocking. It says, at the same time, we acknowledge that faithful Christians, through prayerful study, spiritual discernment, and lived experience, have come to affirm other covenantal forms of relationship. Well, there you have it. I think that that's pretty shocking because they're trying to play two sides of the fence here. They're trying to have their cake and eat it too. And that just doesn't work. I think it was, maybe it was Ed Stetzer who'd released a statement on this. I think it was in his statement, said something about like, this is akin to thinking you can just cut the baby in half and both sides have a half. It's like, nope, no matter what, the baby dies. Like, you can't have both halves of the baby, or you need to keep the baby intact. And so like, this just doesn't work. And so I want to talk about a few reasons why this type of playing both sides of the fence does not work. Trying to say that they affirm their historical understanding of sexuality, of marriage between a man and a woman, and sexuality only within the context of that union. At the same time, say they acknowledge faithful Christians through prayerful study, spiritual discernment, and lived experience have come to affirm other covenantal forms of relationship. And again, that doesn't work. This statement is a rejection of biblical orthodoxy, even though they're claiming to reaffirm biblical orthodoxy of an understanding of marriage. When they try to claim that faithful Christians believe otherwise, then they are rejecting biblical orthodoxy.
Pretty sneaky.
I think an analogy I was trying to think of is that if you were trying to say that well, we believe in the resurrection of Jesus, but we've come to understand that there's other faithful Christians who don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus, and we accept them as other faithful Christians, and they've come to that conclusion through their lived experience and prayerful consideration, and so that's okay. It's like, no, you can't do that. By saying that it's okay for some Christians to reject the resurrection of Jesus, you're saying that you don't fully believe in the resurrection of Jesus, that you don't think it's essential to Christianity. And the resurrection of Jesus is essential to Christianity, along with an understanding of marriage and sexuality is absolutely essential to faithful Christianity. And so you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't say that we believe this, but we also believe that you can't believe this and still be a faithful Christian. It just doesn't work that way. And I've seen them going down this path for years, again, with Christopher Hayes, and there's been a lot of controversy on their campus and is causing division. And this is a rejection of biblical orthodoxy. No other way of describing it. And it's not going to work out well for them. You can't stay on this fence, and you can't continue to say that we believe in historical sexual ethics, but we don't actually believe in it. It's like if they believed in historical, you know, a historical theological understanding of marriage and sexuality, then they couldn't have a professor on staff who was teaching otherwise, like Christopher Hayes. And so they're trying to play it off nice, and yet it's not going to work. And it's really devastating, and it's sad. And they need to have a reverse course of this. They need to turn around. Other organizations have done that. A few years ago, World Vision had a incident in which they changed their standards of conduct for their staff members. And they realized that this was a mistake, and it took a lot of humility, but they reversed course and they changed course. And I think that God is honored when we do that. And so this is a move to progressive Christianity, and it is not upholding the word of the Lord and God's truth. Secondly, this is damaging to their discipleship of their students. Like, they can't claim that we believe in biblical marriage while it's okay to not believe in biblical marriage. You're leaving the door open to sin in the lives of their students, their professors. And I was just trying to put myself in their shoes. If I was a student at this seminary, how would that go? It's like, so in my own life, with my own struggle with same-sex attraction, like, I can't leave a foothold for the enemy to get in and tell me that that life is okay, that the gay life is okay, that my desires are okay. And I can't have people walking alongside me who believe that that's okay, because that would have been detrimental to my walk with God and to my fight in this area of my life. Like, it has been a knockdown, drag out, hair pulling fight with my flesh for 20 years now. And I needed people who were fervent in their conviction and understanding and willing to fight alongside me. But a seminary that wavers on this can't fight for the spiritual health of their students. Like, I couldn't have Christopher Hayes as my professor when he thinks that homosexuality is okay. He would have a negative influence on my life. Like, if I had those influences, if I had those that spiritual authority in my life, I would have given in long ago. I couldn't go to a church that tries to hold this middle road because they wouldn't be able to fight my spiritual battles with me. I couldn't be in a small group at my church with people who believe that homosexuality is okay, because again, they wouldn't be able to fight the spiritual battle with me. They would think that it's not a spiritual battle that I should be fighting. And that would be devastating to my discipleship. And surely I want a church that welcomes in people who are struggling, right? But they need to welcome those people in to a story of redemption and grace, and do that with clarity, and do that with a clarity of what God expects of them, and clarity of what the end goal is, which is to be more like Christ. And so I need spiritual authority in my life from my church, my seminary, my small group, my pastors that give extreme clarity and are fighting for biblical truth in my life. And Fuller Seminary is not at a place to do that. And I think even when it comes to heterosexual, you know, students, heterosexual sin, heterosexual marriage in the lives of their students, I can't help but question what purpose do they think that marriage has in the lives of their students and in the body of Christ? What is their vision of marriage? What is their understanding of its purpose? And when that is so tarnished, they surely can't disciple their students towards biblical, healthy marriage when they have such a twisted understanding of what marriage can be. And lastly, this is damaging to their witness to the world. Our world is struggling. This is such a hot point in our world right now. There's so much pressure here that the world needs clarity. The world doesn't need ambiguity. The world doesn't need people saying that this issue doesn't matter. The world needs clarity, and the world is watching, and the world now uses statements like this to say, hey, look, see, it's not a big deal. And oh, some Christians think that homosexuality isn't a big deal, and we can be faithful Christians and still be gay at the same time and still love our Savior and still do this, this, and this. And they look at this, and it's fuel to their fire. It's fuel to their depravity. And so the statements like this and the actions of Fuller Seminary actually make it more difficult for faithful Christians to have a witness in the world. It makes it more difficult for me to do my job when other Christian institutions are throwing in the towel. It would actually be easier if they completely threw in the towel and were completely honest with where they're at instead of trying to play this middle road, because now the enemy can lie to people and say like, oh, you can, you know, have these beliefs, but still believe that other people can have completely different beliefs on sexuality and marriage. And I think this is actually more harmful than the institutions that have just come out fully progressive. At least we know where they're at. At least they're not pretending. At least the world doesn't have to look at them and as a model of what evangelical Christianity can or should be. And so I think it would be better if they just, you know, I don't want that to happen. Obviously, I want them to reverse course, and we should be praying for that. But this is damaging to their witness to the world. The world needs to see that people like me can fight with the body of Christ and with the power of the Holy Spirit and live a different life. That sanctification, that holiness is worth fighting for. It is worth that knockdown, drag out, you know, hair pulling fight with the flesh, in which we need the body of Christ to come alongside us and fight along with us, to bear our burdens with us. And they can only do that if there is extreme clarity and they know what they're fighting for. They know what discipleship looks like. They know what biblical sexuality looks like. That can only happen when we have people who want to come alongside us and crucify our flesh with us. And the world now sees that that's been compromised. And the world, I have no doubt, is in a worse place because the enemy uses this to lie to them and uses them to tell them that there is a leeway for sin, that there is a road that they can go down to in which it's really not that big of a deal, that they can be faithful Christians and still believe in a twisted form of sexuality and marriage. So let's pray for Fuller Seminary. Let's pray for their staff. Let's pray for their students. Let's pray for the world. And let's not accept this middle ground that you can have your cake and eat it too. No, like we need to stand firm. And we do that with love and grace and compassion, right? And we invite people into God's real story of mercy. When I responded to Christopher B. Hayes' book, The Widening of God's Mercy, I said, it's God's mercy that brought me to my knees in repentance. It's God's mercy that sustains me in my battle with my flesh. It's God's mercy that put me in a position to be married to a wonderful woman and have a family. And that is a mercy that they are not understanding at Fuller Seminary. And that is a mercy that the world needs, a mercy that understands that that God's grace applies this area of my life, and he loves me so much that he wants something better for me. So let's pray that the leaders of Fuller Seminary would understand that and that they would repent and that they would change course. With that said, let me just pray right now. And if you're a praying person, you can join with me. Dear Lord, I thank you so much for this time. I thank you that your truth is unending. It is true. It is inerrant. I thank you that you laid out your plan for human sexuality and marriage all throughout Scripture, starting in Genesis. I thank you that marriage is a beautiful picture of the gospel. It's a beautiful picture of complementarianism, of two different things coming together to be whole. I I thank you for your grace and your mercy in loving sinners like me. I pray that people listening would better understand your mercy and your grace, that your mercy and grace isn't a pass for sin, that they should just go on sinning more, but no, your mercy and grace means that they can surrender and that they can live a different life, that they can live in freedom. I pray that the world would not be swayed by this ambiguity from Fuller, that you'd protect the world, you'd protect the integrity of your word, you'd protect the witness of churches that are trying to hold strong. I pray that you'd give us co-laborers in this fight who would help just hold strong, you know, to your word and the truth about marriage and sexuality in it. I pray for individuals struggling right now that they would experience your love, mercy, and grace in ways that they never have. Pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Calibrate Conversations. Again, make sure you go to calibrateministries.com for more resources. If you'd like to support the ministry, we appreciate that. Right now, we have a donor who is doing a $25,000 matching donation. And so your donation to Calibrate can go even further and be doubled in the next few weeks. So we would really appreciate that support. Pray for our world. Pray for people who struggle with same-sex attraction, gender issues. They need you. They need you to come alongside them and bear these burdens with them, fight these spiritual fights with them. And God's word has equipped us to do that. Thank you.